Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, February the 19th, 50th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, out of the 5th. Not a reference to a container size, a geographic reference. Ryan Sundberg. Hey, guy.
How you doing, my friend?
Man, you know, if it wasn't wet the last couple of days, I wouldn't know what to do.
I am enjoying the wet weather. It's taking a lot of pressure off.
Well, that's what they say, but it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what we're supposed to get another couple series of storms, I think, through this coming weekend. It's like, holy crow.
It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. You know, the first storm we had,
right?
They said the level of water in Ruth Lake rose by 4 feet in that one storm. You know, so I mean,
something about hard pack.
I think that's good. That's all those our water.
So. All those paved asphalt parking lots out there at Ruth. That's what did it. That's why it wasn't absorbed. That's why the trees didn't get the water.
Well, you don't want the trees to get the water. You want the lake to get the water.
Yeah, well, okay, different perspective. And I don't think mine is really mine, so we'll just go with it. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the mid-year budget. What has the state done to the county? The schools are jumping up and down, clapping their hands. We'll find out if the county is doing the same. And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the private-public contract and business relationships that the county enters into with local businesses. There may be a couple of surprises there also. What they can do, what they can't do, we'll find out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find a funny section.
One.
Well, I'm hoping to finally. I mean, it's been a long week so far. Here, look at number 523. You tell me if that's one to use or not.
523.
I know you wouldn't get torqued about it. I wouldn't get torqued about it.
No, that's perfect.
Go for it, dude.
I can get away with it.
I was going to too, but I thought, you know, I don't want to take an arrow in the chest before I leave the studio this afternoon.
Now, I don't know if that was politically correct now.
Yeah, that held me back.
You'll understand after the quote. Illegal aliens have always been a problem in the United States. Ask any Indian. Robert Orban. Have you seen the shirts? They say the original Homeland Security, and it's got a bunch of Indian guys across the shirt. reminds me of that.
Yeah, that to me, that's the kind of stuff that makes it worthwhile if you can giggle and laugh in some of those situations rather than everybody being so serious all the time.
Yeah, I'm not very sensitive, so.
Yeah, I know that. It's the rest of the family I'm concerned about, man.
I have to hang out with you and Rex. Yeah. I'd be in big trouble if I was sensitive.
Yeah, dulls the wits, doesn't it?
I wouldn't have any friends.
Oh, gee. So the budget that came through at the midpoint. It's interesting for me hearing, okay, California, I guess, is doing better. And yet when you talk to an awful lot of local businesses, it ain't here. How do you, when you guys are then dealing with those dollars, but you're operating in an area that isn't necessarily seeing that bump, not how do you balance between the two, because that's really not your job, but how do you not jump up and down and saying, things are great, as you're looking at more and more empty storefronts and people having tough sleds in their businesses?
Yeah, it's a couple years ago, we stopped doing cuts. We figured we were pretty close to keeping our head above water and just treading water. And then that lasted for 2 years. And then this last budget cycle, we did a 2% raise for the employees, and the revenues didn't come in as expected. And so now we have a structural deficit of $2 million. And I mean, that's out of, you know, our budget's around $300 million. So $2 million is not that much. And then.
No, wait a minute. You haven't been sucked in that deep already, have you?
What are you talking about?
Restate your phrase. $2 million isn't that much to be in deficit?
Well, when you take it into perspective and
you doesn't matter if you're a $2 billion industry or...
It's a lot of money.
A $1 industry, yeah.
I'm referring to dealing with the problem of a structural deficit. If it was, you know, $50 million, we'd be in big trouble because you wouldn't be able to find it anywhere else. But $2 million, they can... What we did is...
So in the one budget line item... Well, you're out of whack that much, but you can grab it from somewhere else.
Yeah, well, we didn't want to do an across-the-board cut, you know, because there's some departments that have already cut as much as they can. And we asked them to, we asked all the department heads to go back and tell the board how, or tell the CAO's office how we're going to deal with this structural deficit. And we'll get that back. And
structural deficits, though, are...
Long-term.
Have to be addressed, and it's a permanent address. It's not permanent. You know, 1 year, and then if the economy, or if the taxes, rather, kick up a little bit, everything's... No, structural means structural.
Yeah, because it's basically like fixed costs. You know what your fixed costs and your variable costs are, and variable ones you can deal with, fixed ones...
You're hung with.
That's
probably not politically correct either, is it?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad I didn't use the other phrase I was thinking of.
You're on the roll today.
I'll tell you during the break, man. Not for on-air consumption. So as you are looking at that, I would imagine that there's unanimity from department heads and from the electeds that, okay, this is something we have to address. We can't ignore it. We can't grab from this department to cover for that. Is that everybody on the same wavelength on that?
Yeah, we have our department heads work really well together, and it's actually amazing how they stick to their budgets. I mean, other organizations that I've been involved with, it doesn't always happen, and it makes it very difficult for the board to fix things when one department overspends and you got to go find it somewhere else. And
well, yeah, you got the sands shifting underneath your feet.
Yeah. So it's they're within fractions of a percent most of the time of where their budget's supposed to be, and they do a really good job. So I've been really happy with that.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, considering some of the different challenges that are out there, when you get your budget, one of the things, and I don't think a lot of folks appreciate it, is you got a six-month compressed time frame to deal with it. So here it comes, and it might not be quite as rosy as what it could have been, or maybe it's a little bit rosier. How do you keep everything in perspective?
Well, doing the updates helps, because we find out where we're at, where we're going. Do we need to make adjustments? And that's what we just did a few weeks ago, is do the midterm budget review. And the other thing that they've done this last time, and I mean they, is the CAO's office, is they've done a 5-year forecast of predicted revenues and expenses, and that is a really, really good tool that helps me see what, you know, I mean, obviously it's a guess like any other budget, and it might be a little bit more of a guess since it's so far out, but at least you can tell if you, the glaring things, you know, if we do this, and one of the things they showed us, if we do a 2% raise for employees, here's what it looks like. If we did a 4, 5, 10, and
they all sound like small numbers, don't they?
They do. And, you know, one of the things, I had a interview with the AFSCME union. It's that represents the employees for the county. And I, you know, it's like, well, yeah, you want to treat your employees well, but there's either money there or there's not, you know, and if you have to trust the numbers, and it is, you know, most of the time it is what it is.
When you're in those situations, of course, then I still would never be an elected, and I would never be an elected assigned to that. I would be tempted to say, look, guys, you know, we can do whatever you want. Here's what my labor cost is. Figure out how many employees we get out of that. Come on back to us and let us know.
Well, that's...
And just, I mean...
That's what the county gets stuck with, is you can't do reductions in how much you pay the employees. So the only
So once you bump it up, it's locked.
Yeah. And so the only way to do savings is to do, you know, voluntary separations. You can do voluntary you know, take Fridays off, or you can do layoffs. You know, that's the only way you can save money on that fixed cost. So it makes it difficult, and I know a lot of people won't believe this, but there's the employees, I mean, we've done cuts and cuts and cuts for a long time, and they're running pretty thin in a lot of spots. And I think, you know, for instance, the sheriff's department, they're way down, and they're working 12-hour shifts, and they're just, you know, in the DA's office, they've got, you know, the attorneys have tons of cases each, and it's amazing how much work they fling out of that place. And it's difficult everywhere. You know?
Has the county, Ryan, ever done any time motion studies?
Time motion studies.
How efficient are the folks? I mean, something like, you know, you've probably heard the axiom, if you want to save time, handle the piece of paper on your desk once.
Yeah.
Okay. Things like that, an outside observer who's familiar with efficiencies, if they can just kind of look and see, is the project taking, if it should take 2.5 minutes, is it taking 2.5 minutes? Is it taking 2 minutes? Is it taking 5.5 minutes? So not that you're banging on folks, but you're going to be more efficient with the time for certain tasks so that the bosses then can make proper allowances. But also there's an accountability that, you know, if you're taking 15 water cooler breaks as you're taking the mail out to the post box, and we don't see you for 25 minutes because there's so much activity going on, nobody pays any attention to it. Now somebody's paying attention to it.
We're the government. Come on.
You guys are the king of this stuff, man.
I think that's a great thing to try and work towards and get. I am not aware of one. I for sure haven't had one since I've been there but I've only been there for 3 years. They may have done one before that I don't know about. But
it's like with automation.
We talk
about how those things can happen, how they might be able to be either time savers or allow somebody to do more work. Uh-huh. Into their 40-hour or whatever their time frame is. Things like that you're not going to be knowledgeable about it. Phil isn't going to be knowledgeable about it. The department heads probably aren't even knowledgeable about some of these different options that are out there. But there are folks, you know, maybe for $5,000 or something, they come in for a week and they look around and poke and snoop.
I guarantee it would be more than $4,000.
Okay. Don't get the highest priced guy. That next tier guy.
It would be interesting to see what it would cost for something like that, though. And
you know, it's like with your guys.
Or try it in a department. You know, try it in a
department. Oh, yeah, you have to go department by department.
Find out, you know, how it works and how it sets up the accountability. I think that's... Never heard that before.
Oh, well, see. But then you left your computer at the office, so poof, it's back into the ether. another great idea. Hit the wall and is out of the room.
You get the iPads, though, you know, and save all that paper.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that makes a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the computer reference I was making for you.
That's what it was. But, yeah, I mean, that was $30 a packet for me. And then I would have to drive from McKinleyville to Eureka and back just to pick that thing up on Friday afternoons. So it saved me quite a bit of time because I don't have to lug this thing around, you know, save the
Oh, come on. Now you don't have to wake up till 10 o'clock on Fridays. Oh, don't sure. do that stuff.
But it's it saved me a lot of time.
So do you have a sense, is there a willingness or an embracing of that kind of opportunity that most department heads want, that most of the staff is looking for, too? Because I would think that they would want to get this stuff taken care of.
Mm-hmm. No, I think there is some of the challenges are the funding, the grant funding that a lot of them get, that they've got to get it written into the grants, and it's change happens very slowly at the county.
Well, here's something that'll pick you up.
What's
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back.
Okay.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you're considering some of the different challenges that are out there, now certainly we've introduced the new concept of time motion study. Okay. But looking at things a little bit differently, what percent, what number, what did your gut say about the percentage of work that the county is responsible for that's taken care of in or taken care of by private sector? Some kind of a contract, an area of responsibility, stuff that everybody agrees that the county ought to take care of that is done by an outside contractor locally rather than by somebody who's in-house?
Most of the departments stay in-house, and then Public Works is the one that, you know, farms out quite a bit. You know, they've got a staff and... But all the big projects, all the road projects and bigger projects that they do are all farmed out to local businesses. And
this was kind of the big pushy push a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Private, you know, let's contract out with the private sector. They do everything so much more efficiently, blah, 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 blah. Do you have that flexibility, or do a lot of the contracts that you were alluding to earlier preclude you from being able to do that?
I don't know. I know we try and go outside and hire out whenever we can. And I mean, there's a lot of contracts that we do in private business, but some of them, you know, what I was telling you earlier before we went on air is, you know, the ones that don't make money, those are perfect ones that the county is going to do, you know, to make those up. And, you know, if it's like the planning department, for instance, you need to plan, you know, the government has to do that, you know. So what we're responsible for, and what we've been pushing, is to make them more customer friendly and respond to people and do, you know, and be quick when they do permits. And I think we're moving.
Is that where the rumors of the free ice cream and sodas were coming from out of the planning department? Were you the cause of that?
I was when I was out front there giving that away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really like your little bicycle, too, with the little ringy-dingy bell.
Yeah, I saw you following me around.
Yeah, it was for the ice cream. No other reason. So as you're looking to get some of that kind of stuff done, there's the state constitutional offices. There are those that are elected, and there are those that are appointed. Has anybody looked at, or do you have any sense of, okay, well, what would the cost be if this staff... I'm thinking of the accounting functions, all outsourced. versus all-in source. The root of that is I've had a couple conversations this week about prevailing wage and what that does to any project in our area that's paying 2-3 times what the market is because it's federal or state prevailing wage. Just things going really crazy. So is there any flexibility for the county to be able to do some of that stuff, to whether it's a 2% or 3% or 5% or whatever it might be, or reallocate those dollars into other areas, just to kind of get a sense that everything...
I believe that you can, certain functions, and then I know that if you wanted, say that you wanted all the accounting to be outside, I'm pretty sure that you have to go out to a vote for that if it's an elected position, which those positions are. Right. So,
or audits.
It would be a process. We do go outside on audits.
There's no internal auditing. It's all external auditing.
I think they are part of the process, but the audits are all done by outside firms because you wouldn't want your inside people doing your audits.
So. Conflict of interest, perhaps, sir?
Could be, yeah. Wouldn't go well. I know that. So.
Well, let's just say it would be kind of an interesting situation, huh?
Yeah. Well, they have a responsibility to be transparent to the grant sources they get, and you know, you want to trust the numbers, and that's how you do it. Fala.
Wow. The laser-like insight. It's just extraordinary what happens out of the studio. KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 343. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, there's some that you have control on, there's some that you have no control on, and there's some that you wonder if anybody's in charge anywhere, anytime. What are you hearing? The stuff with the airline, airport, air transportation, et cetera, into the area. Unless you're a fan of Portland, I guess, and maybe Sacramento and Oakland. Other than that, we're looking at a six-hour drive, round trip, Reading or Medford, or longer to the other airports. To get, well, okay, that's really long, but okay. I mean, we say Seattle then if you want.
No, Santa Rosa.
Oh, I thought you said San Jose.
No, Santa Rosa has them. That's where we flew out of last time.
How was that?
It was good. Yeah, it was easy.
And direct down into LA and then out or to Salt Lake or
something?
We went
to Disneyland last summer and it was direct down there. And
Air perfect. Disney?
They could have been. Yeah.
So
Sophie
what?
Didn't know any different.
Look, soda pop.
And it's free.
Yeah. So with the challenges that we have here, with the equipment that isn't working, the fog that's happening, nobody wants to fly into here or fly out of here.
Did you say this is the last segment?
Yes,
it is. You're just going to leave me totally depressed on the last segment. Well, thanks a lot, Brian.
Why don't we have a shuttle or some kind of relationship with Santa Rosa? And just climb on the bus. We'll take you down there for probably a third of the county. It's a closer drive than McKinleyville is anyway. And not worry about it, because it seems like it's really challenging to get that airport up, functional, and then used.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the issues is all of us, because I'm not part of the negotiating team for the airport recruitment and all that, but I keep being told and seeing stuff in the paper and everything else that, you know, tomorrow there's going to be another airline here. So why would you put together a bus to drive your customers out of here if there's going to be an airline coming very, very soon? That is, I think that's probably the main reason it hasn't happened, that the bus hasn't happened. But
can you time bound this thing and say, look, guys, either by this time or we're going to have to do something else, whether it's a shuttle bus or maybe you open up your own airline or we don't have airplane service or whatever it might happen to be, whatever the options are that might be on the table. Because it seems like this thing, I mean, this is worse than root canal without anesthesia.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a root canal this morning. That's why I couldn't make it here earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I good or am I good?
You are good. You're like telepathic here.
I'm frightening. So. I'm frightening myself.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good for having a root
canal. Yeah, your drool spot isn't that big. No, I'm kind of impressed.
That's why there's napkins on the floor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, no, to answer your question, I think that our board is going to have a conversation sometime soon about what the direction of that is going to be, because something has to happen. The people in Humboldt County are not getting good service right now, and we've got to.
And that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what our responsibility is, to have people have good customer service and be, you know, and I mean that brings in happy people, happy customers, you know. So we have to figure this out. And
does the airport make money? If it's up and functional,
yeah,
it does make money.
Yeah, it's a,
it's
revenue
a profit center.
Yeah, yeah, it generates revenue.
So could Santa Rosa handle 50% of the load? And would they be, you know, does it pencil out so that they could kick something back to us? So if the county is at least still making something and turn it over to the coasties and let them run it, and I'll worry about it.
Yeah, I'd rather fly out of here. I know for myself, you know, if it's financially doable and you know you're not going to get stuck for 2 days somewhere, I would rather fly.
Well, now you're just taking out the two variables that causes everybody to drive down to somewhere else.
We got to fix those variables. It has to be done one way or the other. We have to take care of that. And I think our board needs to have a conversation about how to make that happen, or at least, you know, if a bus in the meantime is the option, or, you know, I'm sure that another airport would probably pay for that bus for you if you're bringing that many customers down. So
would it make sense for the county in some of the areas, I don't know what the FAA regulations are, but to take a hangar, to construct a hangar so that there is that last plane that comes in the night before is here for that first flight out? So even if the fog is a challenge, the first flight is always leaving, instead of causing the ripple and the backups and everything that seems to be.
I know it parks here often. I mean, I've flown out on the first one out before, and it's been here from the night before. The really good thing about getting a new airline in here is they have the upgraded jets. You know, the ones that fly in here now don't have the equipment on them to use.
But that's okay. The equipment doesn't work anyway, so we're diff, right?
It's going to get fixed.
Oh, okay.
But they said that the newer jets that fly the regionals, they have equipment on them that it can be dense fog and they'll still land. So the foggy airport here in McKinleyville would not matter.
But we don't get those planes.
No,
in our airport.
When that was one of the
a condition, wasn't it?
It'll be one of the planes that fly in here is going to, you know, because it's going to make sense for us and for the airline. They're going to want to be able to get in here if they're going to, you know, pick up their passengers and make their money. So
what are you hearing? Are we close? Are we getting lip service? I remember about a year ago saying
it's going to be
a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's almost there. We can't make the announcement, but it's almost.
I've heard that more than three times. And, but the last thing that I heard was the new challenge was the rules that the federal government did on how much rest that pilots have to get. And that's the new thing that's holding us up. So,
but that's national. That's not here.
But all this stuff's connected. You know, it's going to be hopefully a big airline that flies in and out of here. So
I sat with a pilot one a year ago. He said, do you know how much sleep that most pilots get when they're on? I said, no. He said, most of them are on call. So they're not employees, they're contract employees. Mm. 3-4 hours.
Really?
A day. I said, you want those guys out there flying? Or you can't do that with the trucks. You want to do that with the airplanes? Okay. Huh. Good perspective.
Yeah. Hey, you do put a lot of trust in someone you've never met before, huh?
That's right. But, you know, at least he's along for the ride.
Yeah. He's got.
If it was automated.
He's got some investment in it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Little skin in the game. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop with Ryan Sundberg. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.